1 Samuel 16, verse 10, if you want to read the entire chapter when you go home. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 10. Samuel chapter 16 and verse 10. I hope you bring your Bibles to church with you. I know it's hard when you first get saved. You're a nervous wreck when the preacher gives a passage of Scripture, especially if it's from one of those tiny little books stuck in the middle somewhere that you just know it's there somewhere, but that new Bible, the pages stick together. You get a little frantic, but we'll take our time, give you time to find it. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 10. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not," what's that next word? "Chosen these." Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest." Word youngest, "yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. I'll stop reading there. A thought that has been on my heart for the past several weeks. I wake up in the middle of the night just thinking about it. On this anointing of David, we've all heard probably now hundreds of sermons preached to or heard it referred to. But as far as God calling or choosing David, he would not have been the choice that we probably would have made. But yet God saw something in him, and God chose him, and when God does the choosing, that makes all the difference in the world. I think sometimes we forget. We get the feeling that we sing the songs, "I have decided to follow Jesus." It's a great song. Nothing wrong with the song. But I think sometimes we put ourselves too high. We think we're the ones that does it all. God does the calling. God does the choosing. Now, God's chosen you to serve Him. You may not know that yet this morning, but He has chosen you. And I hope that you understand when you reach a place where that you really see the basis of a relationship, when it hinges on invitation, when you are invited as opposed to inviting someone else, there's a big difference between those two. Young ladies, let me give you a word of advice. Never chase a guy. No. If you're doing the inviting, you don't want him. Because he'll think he's more important than what he really is. Treat you like trash before it's all over. Don't shout me down now. In fact, when I was growing up, we was always taught that a girl wasn't even supposed to call a boy. I know I'm old-fashioned. But there's a good thing to that, you know. You chase them. You're changing the basis of that relationship. There's a big difference between me being invited somewhere to preach and me inviting myself somewhere to preach. Now listen, preachers. I don't care what anyone tells you how spiritual that it is, everything else. I don't care what they say, what they do. You need to hear this. You need to hear this because if you don't catch this, you're going to miss out a lot on your ministry. Never call anyone and ask them to preach. Never call anyone and ask them to pastor. Boy, it got quiet right there. Why? Because, first of all, it's unethical. And not only is it unethical, but in addition to being unethical, it is a thing where you doubt the real power of God to really speak to people spirit to spirit. There's a world of difference between me being invited into someone's church to preach and someone getting an invitation for me to go preach. The difference is the way that I'm treated. I had a fellow in here a while back to preach in our church. I won't say which preacher it was. He was a nervous wreck. I mean, he was just absolutely beside of himself. And he kept saying, I don't know why you all call me. You've got all these great preachers. You do this, you do that. And finally, right before he preached, I leaned over and asked him, I said, just remember, we ask you. He looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, if we would have wanted one of those others, we would have asked them. But today, we ask you. So you just get over it and preach. It's not about your insecurities sometimes. When you're invited, the invitation changes the whole picture. When you have the invitation to you, that's what really extends the goodness for you to be able to serve the Lord, because there's a big difference between being selected and chosen and you choosing yourself. I got a call here a while back from a preacher. When he called me on the phone, you'd have to know this guy. He's kind of a strong man. He's kind of a macho kind of man. And nothing, I mean, just stern in everything. He's a good man. He'd gone for years through his ministry. And as he'd gone through years in his ministry, things had just been kind of status quo. And then suddenly, God dumped heaven out on him. I mean, he started preaching like I'd never heard a preacher preach. I don't want to tell you his name because you know where I get my sermons from. I'm kidding with you. But he called one day and I could tell he was just sobbing on the other end of the phone. He was sobbing uncontrollably. And I called his name out. And he said, thank goodness you know who I am. I mean, he hadn't even said hello. He couldn't get hello out. I could tell by his sobs. And he sobbed and he cried and he cried and he cried. And I'm thinking, Lord, help me. I don't know what's wrong with him. And then it dawned on me. And I told him, I said, it finally hit you, didn't it? He said, what? I said, it finally hit you what God's done with you and done for you. And now you feel like you'll never be able to go any further because God has elevated you from one place to another so quickly that you wasn't prepared for that. He just cried and cried and cried and cried. Because God did that. His church exploded overnight. And he just started preaching messages that was almost unbelievable. And as long as you're in one place and you don't know there's anything different, then nothing changes until God suddenly chooses you to do something that you could not do by yourself. Now stay with me. You have to hear what I'm trying to say to you today. We know where we're at. But it's hard to get ready sometimes for where God wants to take us. And I think that's the beauty of all of this. God called a kid because he knew where he was trying to take him to. So the fella cried for some time on the phone. And finally I looked at him. I said, you remember one thing. One thing. And this is the only thing I have to tell you that God has given to me. I said, you never started this. You didn't pass out business cards. You didn't tell people how wonderful you are. You haven't exalted yourself in one way. You didn't start any of this, so you don't have to finish it. I remember the first time that God really came on me when I preached. And I'm very reluctant to preach what I'm sharing with you today because some people take it as though you're trying to be arrogant. And I don't mean that at all. I hope you know me better than that. This is not arrogance. There is a time in ministry where you allow the Holy Spirit to suddenly come upon you to a place where that you study and you preach and you have notes and you follow your outline and you follow your illustrations, but there is a time when suddenly the power of God comes upon a preacher to a place where the preacher loses themselves. And suddenly they're speaking things that they couldn't dream up themselves. And God is giving them insight that they never had. And even sometimes they elevate themselves to a place where God gives them a message that they never dreamed they would have the ability or intellect to preach. And when the smoke clears, people standing on their feet shouting, people's on the altar praying, and you're rejoicing in the Lord, it's kind of like you as a congregation. When you're sitting in a congregation, there's some that just sit there all of their life and they never want to be blessed, they never want to be elevated, but suddenly there's others that for no good reason at all, the power of God comes along, and before you know it, you're on your feet, you're shouting, you're rejoicing, you're praising God, you're shaking hands, you're weeping, you're laughing, God is moving, and it's things that you wouldn't do normally by yourself. And you're fine until you get home. And when you get home, you say, what do I have to look forward to now? I'll never be able to do anything any greater than that. I have already burned all of my fuel. It's all gone. What have I done? There's nothing left. What am I looking forward to? There are times in our life where God moves us to a level through His choosing and His calling that is not our own. And once that happens, we can't go back. We have to move forward. We have to make our mind up. And that's the situation that David was in. Brian Bear, he's a great preacher. Great preacher. Brian, three of them think you're a great preacher. He is. He's a great preacher. But you asked him when he started out, what was the title of your second sermon? Tell him. Go ahead. Don't be embarrassed. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I hope it ain't a train. That was his second sermon. I wasn't there to hear it. I'd have been behind you, though. But I remember when Brian, the first time I heard Brian preach, and somehow we think that with age, it changes. Age, what I'm trying to tell you today, age has nothing to do with it. You can preach for 50 years and never experience the power of God on you. You can sit in church for 50 years and never experience the power of God on you. But when Brian Bear went out to the Jubilee and preached, and he'll testify to what I'm about to say. When he went out and preached, you remember the sermon he preached? The hem of his garment. How many of you remember that sermon? It's a classic. Classic. He preached it here at our church. Preached it out at the Jubilee. Felt led of God. After the Jubilee and what God had done there, I called Brian into my office and set him down and I said, let me give you a word of advice. Don't be afraid, but you've gone to a new level. And when you go to that new level, it will absolutely terrify you if you're not careful, because you'll think, I'll never get another sermon greater than that. It's like a gospel songwriter that God gives them a song that goes straight to the top of the charts, and they sell thousands and thousands of songs, and then they're always trying to reach for another song that's greater than that. But isn't it funny? Everything they write after that sounds like the first one they wrote. Because they... stay with me now. They keep trying to go back to that experience that was so great. They keep wanting to be elevated to that experience that was wonderful. See, if you don't know any different, then things aren't too bad. It's kind of like for those of us that was raised in homes, you know, homes where used to the dad would work, the mom stayed at home, and I'm not preaching against women that work this morning, so don't go tell everyone that. But most of us were raised in that area, and the families were bigger, and when the families were bigger, things were a lot different, and probably I certainly wasn't as poor as my dad's generation, but I can say this, my kids weren't raised as poor as I was raised. But you see, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't know that we were poor. Because we didn't know anything else. Oh, I'm feeling God this morning. I told Candy, I said, you know, when I said, sometimes we sit down and talk about what are we going to eat? And it blows my mind. It blows my mind to go out to a cooler and have 8 and 10 and 12 flavors of pop. When you were raised, your life... See, mom and dad figured out 7 kids, one man working. There's only so much to go around. My favorite sandwich was ketchup sandwiches. I told my kids today when they come home, hey, come on over for lunch. We're going to have ketchup sandwich. They say, Dad, you're on crack. You have lost your mind. What's the matter with you? But the thing of it was, you couldn't buy lunch meat when I was real little for all 7 kids at home. And the great treat was when you finally got to the place that all 7 kids got an ice cream cone. Man, we were moving on up. Kids will laugh at that kind of stuff today, but I didn't know any different. I didn't have anything else, and I knew no different. When you start out in ministry and you're struggling alone, you don't know there's anything any better, and you stay right where you're at, and you don't go any further because you think that's all there is to it. But that's not all there is to it. There's more to it. A lot more to it. Even when I came to this church the first time, I knew that God had called me, had chosen me to be here. But here's the problem when you're chosen. As soon as you're chosen, you're going to fight battles. Real battles. And the way you interpret those battles is you're out of the will of God. I mean, let's face it, folks. I wasn't here 2 months until Caleb was born, and he spent the first several days in ICU. Don't you think, do you know what the devil told Candy and I during that time? Can you imagine? You imagine the thing? First of all, here I was a kid. I say this constantly. Why in the world the deacons did what they did? Had to be God. Either that or they need serious medical help. Now, I know better because I know they felt led and I felt led. But as soon as you get there, you start facing all these things. And then the things that you're going through that you're wise enough as a preacher that you don't get up and tell your worries and your moans and your groans to people. I don't want to hear testimonies. You all have enough things to go through all week long. You don't need me to stand up there and tell you what a horrible week I had. You don't want to tell me how bad life has been. Life hadn't been bad to me. Hadn't always gone the way that I thought it should go. But God has been with me every step of the way. And God has never failed me. So I can't stand here and tell you about all the bad things that it had. There's times, though, that like Roger said today, the devil's on your back. He's fighting. You're needing help, and you're struggling, that inner struggle, and you're trying to figure out how to get free from it. We're going through all of that and struggling along, and I'm trying to figure out, Lord, what have I done? Is this right or not right? Then they come back and they tell us our insurance is bankrupt, have no money, no way to pay, sold what property we had, sold what assets we had. I had 2 cars. I sold the extra car. We had 1 car. As much as I was gone, that left her home with 2 babies constantly. And there I am buzzing up and down the road in a 1978 Pinto. I can't say that when that started, I was happy as a meadowlark. I can't say that there wasn't doubts that came across my mind. But I can say that God used our leaders and you people to reconfirm the fact that, listen, you are a kid. Are you ready for this? David was a kid. But after that day, there was a king in him. Once he was anointed, even though he was a kid, he still had a king in him.
So here we are struggling along, and I know that I'm doing what's right, and my wife's not too thrilled about everything that's happening. Not because she didn't love you. She lives with me. Are you sure? What's going on? Y'all will never know. Some of you will never know. Through that time, I kept thinking, God's going to do this. He never did any of that. Not one thing, I thought. Not one thing. But Candy and I was talking this week. We got a bill from a doctor that we could not pay. And we came to church on Sunday and we had a great service. But we're still struggling. God's called. We're where we ought to be, but we're struggling. I know this is hard for a lot of you to accept this morning. You think that God gives you golden letters from heaven on everything you do. But there wouldn't be any faith involved if you did that. And I'll never forget, we went up to the parsonage. It was a mobile home on the back lot at that time. On a Sunday. And Lonnie and Joyce had given us a card. And as best I remember, it just said, "We're praying for you." And inside was $100. It wasn't the $100, but Lonnie and Joyce, I promise you, my wife will verify, we have never forgotten that. And it's like the Holy Ghost came down and said, "You did what was right. And I'm going to take care of you." Now, I don't mean to mislead you. I don't want to go back to those days. I like it the way it is now. But I do know one thing. God had selected. The word in the New Testament is adoption. It's the same word. The word adoption means that. Here's a funny thing. This is right to life Sunday. Through this week, our thoughts have turned to that. Do you know why, really, a majority of abortions occur? Unplanned pregnancies. I mean, that's the excuse they give. And we even got in the habit of saying, you know, people give birth, they get pregnant by accident. Well, life is not an accident, and the act is really not an accident. Really, it's more unplanned. But I like the fact that God uses the word adoption when it comes to us. Do you know why? There may be unplanned pregnancies and unplanned births. Are you with me? But nobody has ever adopted without planning for it. God's saying you're not an accident. God's got a plan for you and a plan in your life. And He's saying, listen, you may not see it right now. You may not know it right now. But nobody will ever adopt by accident. It just doesn't happen. Are you getting what I'm saying to you today? Hey, honey, don't give up on me. I know you're there. Been there all service. I'm going to show you the plan of God here in just a minute. That's awful to do that to a kid. Put them all to the end. There comes a point in your life where you've got to understand God has bigger things for us than we could ever imagine. And it doesn't matter how young we are. Now, he was a kid with a king in him. But if you'll read his life story, the king never did really get all the kid out of him. I think that's the beauty of serving the Lord. You know, some people, the thing of it is they reach a stage in life when they get to be adults and they start serving the Lord. Thank God for it. But it's all serious. They never have any fun in life. I have fun in life. I tell you something. I work 7 days a week. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I love to work because it's kind of cruel. It's a shame that somebody gets to call it work when it's this much fun. It really is. I'm not saying that I love being with sick people, and I'm not saying that I love seeing people pass away, but to be able to be used of God to comfort people, and the joy that it brings in seeing people come to the Lord and seeing people's lives change, when it's that much fun, it's almost a shame to say that it's work. Well, it is work. My calling and my job are the same, and I'm thankful for that, and I don't apologize for that. But yesterday afternoon when I got back in from the hospital, here this big snowstorm's on, and ice is everywhere, and they're predicting all these things. And I told my wife, I said, we haven't had any time together. I said, you want to go bowling? I didn't offend you, did I? We went bowling. I beat her. 3 times. When we got home, she said, you know, I was doing better of a game if we could have bowled till midnight. Big boy, you'd have been in trouble. You need to have some fun. You know, you need to get out with you. I know you're saved and you have great destiny in your life and God is doing great things for you, but you need to get out on a sled and go down the hill with your grandkids. It's all right to have some fun. It's all right to take your kids sleigh riding. Just don't do it on that mountain. Andy said, look, somebody rode a sled down that mountain. I said, look, there's not 2 sets of tracks where they went back up and did it again coming down. I would say that was a rough ride down. I have fun. Maybe you don't like having fun, but I like it. I mean, good, clean, honest fun. Prank you so bad you'll never forget it kind of fun. There's always a little bit of kidding. God says, listen, and I think this is the dilemma. Some of you young people, when God begins to call you, I guess the greatest advice that I've ever heard in all of my life came from our deacons through some of our ordination process of the young preachers that have been called to preach. When they would remind them in several of our meetings, and they'll verify what I'm saying, they looked at them and say, listen, we know you're young, and we know you're called, but you're still a kid. You know what they're saying by that? They're not giving them a license to go out and do what's wrong. They're saying, listen, you still need to intermingle with other kids. It doesn't isolate you. Man, look at me. I'm a middle-aged man, and I still love to be around kids. Even when they cheat me at laser tag, I still love to be around kids. And there's nothing wrong with having that kid in you. You're going to make childish mistakes, and there's some things you only learn from experience. You don't think that David still had the kid in him? You better read forward in your Bible and find out what he did to gain Michal, his wife. I'm not even going to tell it from the pulpit. He said, I'll try it. He got a dare and he did twice as much as what the dare was. There was a kid part of him that never left him. It has to do with the fact that God does the choosing. I know we just had an election and some of you may look and say, I didn't get elected for this and I didn't get elected for that. Please be patient on God. God knows your name. God knows where you're at. God knows what you can do. God's working out a plan. Sometimes the plan is bigger than any of us can see. But you just have to trust Him with it. Now before I give the invitation, I want to show you the beauty of God's choosing us. When Brother Wilbur passed away, shortly after that time, Tom and Mindy called me and said, I need to talk to you. I wouldn't embarrass them. I'm not going to say one thing that they haven't said publicly. She's battled illness. And Tom was one of those good men that got wrapped up in work, 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 and just church when you have time for church. And And they came and they said, listen, we've got problems. We're having a tough time getting our marriage together, going the right way. And I will say until the day I die, the day I die, I'll say this. Right up to that day, God performed a miracle in your life. Now to look at it, I immediately thought when Tom was called to preach, that's it. The devil was trying to stop them from serving God because God was going to use Tom to preach. Come on up here, honey. There's a bigger reason than Tom just preaching. See, God doesn't stop with one generation. He brings it on down. Fetch that guitar up here. Sometimes God chooses mom and dad because He knows what's going to happen on down the line. Are you ready, honey?
In the highway, there are hedges. In the highway, there are hedges. In the highway, there are hedges. I'll be somewhere working for my Lord.
Thank you, Lord.